It is Monday, November 18th, 2019. It is a big week for Menace to Sports and also, I guess, our platform in college football. But really excited about what we got going on. Just want to also, before we get to the show, want to announce, kind of, I've mentioned it a couple episodes, we're revamping this platform. I feel like we've done this like four times. But hey, with growth comes revamping, comes restructuring. So we're going to do away with the different titles, Menace to Society, Menace to Midwest. It's all going to be one show from now on. Four shows a week, all one show. The title will dictate what we're talking about. We initially did it because people were complaining that it was only a Buckeye show. And so we wanted to create two shows, one for Midwest fans, one for national fans. But now, kind of with the landscape kind of unveiling itself, we're just going to go with one show title, one show theme. One week we might talk about, like today, we're going to talk a lot about Clemson, and then we might talk about Ohio State one show. And it'll say in the title, if you don't want to listen, don't listen. But anyways, we're just going to stick with one show, one platform, and really get this thing going. But it's going to be really excited about it. But do want to mention before we get to the show, huge, huge week for us. First event, first tailgate. It's going to benefit the Earl and Jean Bruce Charitable Benefits, which is basically an Alzheimer's research fund. It's a tailgate, November 23rd. It's at the Point on Lane, which is right next to Varsity Club on Lane Avenue, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., or really whenever the game's over, whenever we leave. November 23rd, it's going to be big time. We have food provided by Shade on the Canal, Giant Eagle, a couple other food vendors. We also are going to have drinks, Buckeye Vodka. Really excited about having them out there. They're going to provide all the vodka, Rogue Brewing and North High Brewing. You're going to get a minimum of three drink tickets. I'm hoping to push that to four. We'll see as this week plays out and how many people come. And then also we'll have drink tickets for sale for cheap. So there'll be plenty to go around. It's a covered lot, heated. I bought four heaters so far. A couple special guests going to stop by. So really check it out. Go on our website, social media. It's everywhere. Go get your tickets now because we already have, I think, over about 200 people signed up or tickets bought. And I think we can hold about 350 in the lot. So anyways, just make sure you get your tickets this week because there's no promises that it won't be at capacity by Saturday. So make sure you go check those out. Also, one other thing, big weekend. We have two partners, and you're going to hear the ads on this spot, but I'm going to personally, outside of the advertising, let you know. It's legit. It's a legit combo. We have ProMathletics is an analytic company that reached out to us, and they provide these crazy analytics. And you'll hear the ad on their credibilities. But I use ProMathletics this weekend and MyBookie, the two of our ads on this show. And I put a $100 parlay in and won, I think, over $2,500 at Baylor, Wisconsin, Oklahoma State, and Wyoming or someone like that. And it was a big weekend. And I mean, it was stealing money. So check them out. We have great offers. They're really excited about what we have to offer. So check them out. You won't regret it. But anyways, let's get to the show.
That's why I don't read the newspaper, because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage.
Or do you do what everybody else in media does, just create some shit and throw it on the wall and see what sticks, which is what I see happening everywhere.
Where are we at in society today? I'm a man. I'm 40.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
In the middle of Huntington, West Virginia, there's a river. Next to this river, there is a steel mill. And next to the steel mill, there's a school. In the middle of this school, there's a fountain. Each year, on the exact same day, at the exact same hour, the water to this fountain is turned off. And in this moment, once every year, throughout the town, throughout the school, time stands still.
Well, I wanted to start this show off with that audio from the movie We Are Marshall. For people that don't know, if you live under a rock, back in 1970 on November 14th, 75 members of the Marshall University football program died tragically in a plane crash that was detailed, dramatized by Matthew McConaughey in the movie We Are Marshall. But being that my first full-time job was at Marshall University, and I got to witness, the impact that this, not only this football team and university have on that Huntington, West Virginia community, but also the tragedy that was that story and was that event in what is probably the greatest tragedy in college athletics history. It's something that I wanted to put on the show, bring awareness to, because Marshall is a different place. It's a really cool place. And for those of you that have never been, never looked into it, I get it. It's not Alabama. It's not Ohio State. But in its own respect, it is. Because, see, what happened with this plane crash was 75 people died. You imagine a small steel mill community right on the river of bordering Ohio and West Virginia, basically. And it took a community that really had passion and love for their football team, the Marshall Thundering Herd. And this tragedy created this, I don't want to say cult, but this passion for that football team that to this day, you couldn't convince a diehard Marshall fan that Marshall football is on any different level than Ohio State University. And it's a cool place. It's a really cool place. It's one of the coolest places I've ever been. But I just wanted to give some credence and some attention to that, and really honor that what is now, 49-year-old tragedy, because it is it's an important event. And I would encourage anyone to one, watch the movie, two, take a look at Marshall. And if you ever get a chance to go to a game down there, especially a big game, you're not going to find more passionate fans. There might not be 110,000 at the game, but the 20,000 that are there are going to be insanely passionate. So I just wanted to start with that. And before we get to college football analytics or really any discussion, I wanted to talk about, I guess, another sad situation. Man, this show's starting off with a lot of depression, a lot of depressing topics, but just absolute devastating injury to Tua Tagovailoa this weekend, and prayers to him. And I saw Simone Eli, who came on from, she's a Birmingham news sports anchor. She had posted, I guess, him on Snapchat. Just, he was having a blast in the hospital. He seems like such a quality kid. And I told the story about when I was down there, kind of checking out the Alabama job, and I got to meet him. He seems like the most outgoing and fun-loving kid that you'd ever meet. So really devastating injury, and a lot of conversation. I heard Urban talk about it. Everyone's talking about it. Should he have been in? Should he not have been in? All this other debate, and it's always looking for blame, always looking to point a finger. And the reality is that's a part of football. It's a part of athletics. It's awful. And I will tell a story about a similar situation at my discretion, my decision, that I still am sick about. We had a player at Ohio State that people might or might not remember, Corey Smith, number 84, wide receiver, Akron kid. I recruited him at a junior college. I've known him since he was a junior in high school, back when I was at Marshall, believe it or not, kind of tie the two stories together. But he had, I wouldn't say a rough go at it, but he came to Ohio State, and his personal life was a mess. He was kind of trying to learn how to do things our way, and it took about a year and a half to get him to where he was, I guess, going to be able to contribute, and he did. He had a great year in 2014. I mean, some huge plays down the stretch of the national championship run. Really talented player. And then he, going into 2015, what was going to be his last year, he snapped his leg on a play at Rutgers. I won't ever forget it. It was on the far sideline. I think it was Zeke was running and got tackled and just rolled up on his leg. And I ended up going to the hospital. When we got back, spending the night in the hospital with his now fiance and myself, were sitting there, and I'll never forget when they were trying to reset his leg. I mean, just the agony and pain he was in, and it was just awful, man. It's the worst part of sports. But then we petitioned the NCAA and kind of, I guess, I don't want to say fabricated some things, but it wasn't fabrication. It was just we over exaggerated some things that occurred early in his career to try to make it seem like he had an injury prone life, mainly because if he didn't get a sixth year, we didn't know what was going to happen. He ended his last year, I think it was early in the year, broken leg. So he got granted a sixth year. He absolutely shouldn't have been, but he got granted a sixth year. And so we were going to move forward. So I think it was 2015. So 2016, we come out and he's going to be a big part of the offense. I mean, he's having a great training camp, an okay start to the year. And then we're doing a punt block drill. We've done this drill for, I don't know, 10 years. It's simple. You work on the scheme, block a punt. It's not a full punt. And so I was the punt block coach. I designed the punt block scheme. And so we're going in and we always go, all right, well, Gerrion Conley's live. And everyone else takes three hard steps and pulls up and Gerrion blocks the punt. So I was going through all the potential punt blockers. And then Corey was kind of a decoy in the scheme. He wasn't really intended to get home. He was intended to eat up a block. But I thought to keep him engaged and to keep him to make him believe that he was live and to make him rush the punt hard to draw that block, I was going to make him live. Last rep of the day, I'm like, all right, Corey Smith's live. And there's no reason to call him live other than I needed to do it for motivation. And sure enough, I guess hindsight's 20/20, foreshadowing's a bitch. But takes the rep and dislocates and breaks his wrist. And then for the rest of the year, he was out for a couple weeks, ended up having a cast, obviously didn't have a great year as a receiver with one hand. And I think that was training camp. It was either week one or training camp. So it was devastating. So that was the end of his football career, essentially. And so I can relate. I can relate on making the decision as a coach, even though you don't know what's going to happen. You're trying to do what's best for the team and what's best for the kid. And sometimes it just backfires. It's the nature of the game. But I wanted to send condolences and prayer, not condolences, but send prayers to Tua, hoping he makes a full recovery. And really, I guess, just excited to see the comeback for him. But all right, let's get to a little positive news in the segment that has not been named and might never get named, the Dumbass Announcer of the Week. We have a couple submissions. So let's start with it. It all starts with our guy, Gary Danielson, who he is a peach, isn't he? Let's get to some Gary Danielson audio right now.
I think KJ Britt was the guy who was over there on the tackle. I wonder if he's the one that got injured on the play. Number 33 right here.
No, it's a person.
Is it a
on
person?
The sideline.
I got you, sorry.
And
Britt gets up. He's fine. Harrion's fine.
And the person that Harrion ran into is not.
It's not.
Meanwhile, it's third down and one.
Looks like a guy taking a picture with his camera right here is the one he runs into right over.
I think it's a young lady,
is it?
In fact, but well, we can't speculate. There's too many.
First of all, it's a lot like when he analyzes games or announces games. It's like he's not watching TV, and you have to see the clip to see how just oblivious this guy is to what is going on. I mean, this young lady's taking pictures and gets knocked out cold, and first of all, he doesn't know what happened. He didn't see it. They watched the replay. He still doesn't know what's going on, and then all he wants to talk about is Kenny Britt is fine. The players are fine. There's a lady knocked out cold, dumbass. Shows he's laughing it up. It's bad. Gary Danielson is really bad. And at one point I mistakenly said he was decent. He is awful. And then to further his Dumbass of the Week award is a two-part. Immediately after Alabama gets hurt, he goes on record and says, I think the narrative here is backwards. They have been saying this is going to hurt Alabama with the voters. I think Alabama remembers back to Cardale Jones for Ohio State. If Alabama comes in here and beats Auburn without Tua, they deserve to be number four. Like, what? First of all, can we wait a day until we start talking about Cardale Jones stories? And Tua just fractured and dislocated his hip, and he wants to start politicking to get Alabama in to write some narrative driven off the heels of the 2014 season. This guy is like, he's bad. He's really bad. And it's, if you ever watch a game, I would love to live stream a game. And every time he talks, just follow it up with, wow, that's the dumbest shit I've ever heard. That's not what happened. Or that's a dumb take. And just, I would love to get on air with Gary Danielson. If you guys know Gary Danielson, invite him on the show. I would love to go back and forth on all topics. He can pick them. He can write the outline, because this guy is a clown. And he is the Dumbass Announcer of the Week. But anyways, moving on, we need to get to our get to some college football analysis here. That was all good conversation, all fun, all entertaining. But let's get to some really, I'm going to come out the gate. First, we're going to go take a break and get to one of our sponsors. And then we're going to really dive into Clemson, because Clemson, I think, is the hot team right now that needs to be discussed. And I've been saying it for 4 weeks. And now, of course, now everyone is jumping on the train. So we're going to talk Clemson in a minute, right back after this. Are you tired of paying your bookie every weekend because your lock of the week is as reliable as a Jim Harbaugh game plan? What if you could leverage a data analytics group who has consistently predicted results for the last 4 years with a 60% documented success rate? The guys at ProMathletics.com have done just that and want you to get in on the action for free this week. Yep, for free. With 100% transparency, their model has resulted in them being the only handicapping group in the world to finish in the top 100 the last 3 years in the Las Vegas Super Contest, the globe's largest handicapping contest. I personally used their picks this weekend and went 5-2 in college football. I'm 11-4 overall using their college football platform for the last 2 weeks. No joke, it's free money. They want you to see the truth so bad that they are giving away a free week of all sports with code MENACE. Again, promo code MENACE gets you a 1 week VIP pass for free. No strings attached, no BS, trust me, and try it out. You literally have nothing to lose. If you want to sign up for the remainder of the season, you can use code MENACE50 for 50% off any package. That's MENACE, the word, then the number 50. For 50% off any package. Don't let another losing weekend get the best of your wallet. Head to pro, as in P-R-O, mathletics.com to start winning today. All right, welcome back. And again, I said it pre-show, and I'm going to say it off the heels of that ad. You guys got to check that out, Pro Mathletics. It's ridiculous. They're a bunch of analytic people that have competed in Vegas, and just, I mean, they kill it in Vegas. The only team, the only team in the world as far as handicapping that is finished in the top 100. So check them out. It's for free. You might as well, right? So go sign up and check out their analytics and throw together. I mean, I threw together a 4 or 5 team parlay and won $2,500 with my bookie and Prom Athletics. So anyways, I want to talk about Clemson for a minute, because for about 4 weeks, I think about a month ago, we had Anna Hickey on, who's our correspondent, our friend down in Clemson land. And really, because Trevor Lawrence was not playing like we had expected Trevor Lawrence to play. And I was critical. I've watched almost every game, which is painful to watch at times because the competition's so bad, but he just wasn't playing like I thought he would play. And then kind of talking to Anna, if you guys remember that episode, she gave us some insight into the inside of Clemson program, the feeling on Trevor Lawrence. And the feeling was this: they wanted him to improve. They wanted him to have a jump, not a sophomore slump, but a sophomore jump. And to do that, they needed to challenge him, kind of open things up, and let him make mistakes. So regardless of all of that, I wanted to see how's he playing. Because the last 3 games I've watched, I was like, wow, this Trevor Lawrence is playing like the best quarterback in college football. I think it's him, Justin Fields, and Joe Burrow. Reality is. Those are the top 3 quarterbacks in college football. And he's finally playing like it. He's playing outstanding the last 3 weeks. So I looked at it. What's his performance been? He's the top graded quarterback in all of college football. That is all divisions, Division III, Division II, FCS, FBS, the top graded quarterback in all of college football over the past 4 weeks. So when people say they're hitting their stride, you have to ask them, like, what do you mean? How do you know? That's how you know. Adjusted completion percentage, he's in the top 5. Joe Burrow's 1. I think he's 4th over the last 4 weeks. There are the top 2 quarterbacks in FBS football under pressure: Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow. He is the number 1 quarterback in college football over the last 4 weeks when kept clean, completion percentage-wise. Here's the reality. All of the criticism of Trevor Lawrence, including yours truly, and Trevor Lawrence's sophomore slump, what Anna Hickey shared with us, the feeling inside the walls in Clemson, South Carolina, was well-played and well-calculated. They wanted Trevor Lawrence to improve on his dominant freshman year. That was going to take some growing pains. They threw the book at him, let him go out and learn from his mistakes, a lot like raising kids. At some point, you have to let him unhook the leash and let him go out and explore and make mistakes and learn from mistakes. That's what it was like with Trevor Lawrence. He made a ton of mistakes. He played far below average at times. He and the offense looked like a liability, but here's the reality. It paid off. He is playing with the elites of the elite at the quarterback position right now. And with their defense, the argument for best complete team right now is a two-team race, Ohio State and Clemson. That's it. Those are the top two complete teams, offense, defense, kicking team, kicking game, Ohio State and Clemson. Now, LSU has the offense. They have the flash. They have the firepower. They have three of the top 10 wide receivers in college football. They have an emerging dynamic running back. They have the soon-to-be Heisman-winning quarterback. But they have the most suspect defense in the top four. And Xavier, they have played better opponents than anyone. By the way, they have. That is true. But the LSU defense gave up 614 yards on Saturday to a 4-7 Ole Miss team. And it is the third time they've surrendered 500 plus yards this year. So save the, they've played better teams. They played Ole Miss. Ole Miss is trash, hot garbage. And they gave up 614 yards. So save the LSU defense has just played better people. Did you see what Texas did to them in the air? Texas is garbage on offense. Have you watched them? It's the typical Tom Herman offense. QB sweep right, QB sweep left, some play action pass. And they scorched the DBU. And stop it with the don't even bring the argument that, oh, Florida has a great offense. Stop it. No, they don't. I mean, we've seen that week in, week out. They have a guy like Van Jefferson, who's very talented, an NFL receiver. They don't utilize him. Their quarterback is not a great quarterback. P. Ryan is a really good running back, but the offensive line can't block for him. I mean, let's not talk about they face these ass-kicker offenses. Who have they faced on offense? Alabama? And who else? Auburn? Stop it. Texas. I got you. Texas, 530 yards. Alabama, 541 yards. Ole Miss, the vaunted Ole Miss offense, 614 yards. Yikes. Almost 9 yards a play on average. So this is the defense that we're supposed to be enamored by, the LSU defense. I want to talk about the two teams that are better than LSU on defense. Utah. You want to talk about a real defense? Oh, boy. Whoever wins this Utah-Oregon game should be in the playoff. I'm going to say it again. I think Oregon will win. I like Oregon a lot. I think Justin Herbert needs to play really well, but this Utah defense is stout. The number one rushing defense in the country, third rushing average defense in the country, eighth pass efficiency defense in the country, third overall defense in the country, fifth third down defense in the country. I mean, you talk about a stout team. Utah has the defense to compete with anyone. And I get it. They haven't played anyone. I promise you this. If they played Ole Miss would not get 614 yards. So I know they haven't played anyone. I get it. I get the conversation. And then Oregon. Oregon's playing pretty good defense. I mean, not as good as Utah, but the seventh best pass efficiency defense in the country. 17th rushing average. I mean, they're a top 20 defense. I'm telling you, Oregon, Utah are going to make some waves, some impacts in the national landscape to come. The Pac-12 championship game is a huge game for the landscape. Before we get to the game of the week, which I do want to talk about here briefly in a second, Oklahoma Baylor, man, heartbreaking. How about Texas Tom? How about the Iowa State Cyclones and Matt Campbell? Tommy Herman's old stomping grounds. And you want to laugh? You all want to laugh? I saw the Texas 247 Sports Board saying that one of the mega boosters at Texas has reached out to Urban Meyer's agent. His name's Trace Armstrong, in case you were wondering, or was. He might have dropped him after the Zach Smith scandal. But the Texas faithful wants Tom Herman out and wants to bring in Urban. Oh, the irony. How about that? Tommy Herman wastes his time trying to bring down Urban Meyer because Urban Meyer was kicking his ass in-state recruiting and his wife had a vendetta against me. And now they want him out and they want to bring in Urban. How funny is that? Oh man, I laughed at that one. So, all right, we got to take a quick break, but we're going to come back with the Oklahoma Baylor conversation. I want to talk about the top four, my top four, which remains unchanged and will not change until I see something different, and the national landscape. So we'll be right back after this. Attention, past, present, and future MyBookie players. During Thanksgiving week, MyBookie is offering a risk-free bet on the Bears-Lions game. Simply choose a team against the spread for up to $250. If you win, congrats. You've got extra holiday spending money. If you lose, congratulations to you as well. MyBookie will give you all of your money back. It's a no-brainer because you literally cannot lose. It's no risk, all gravy. It doesn't matter whether you're an experienced player or a first-time customer. MyBookie welcomes all to come play. So quit waiting around and sign up today. Do you find yourself wanting to sports bet but have lots of questions? Don't sweat it. MyBookie's patient customer service team can walk you through the process. And the best part is, if you join this Thanksgiving week, you'll still have one last shot to take advantage of their incredible sign-up offer. Just log on to mybookie.ag and make your first deposit with promo code MENACE. And MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar to jumpstart your bankroll. And that's on top of the risk-free bet. Let me repeat, that's a guaranteed deposit match and a risk-free bet for Thanksgiving only. So if you're a true football fan, you do not want to let this opportunity pass you by. You simply can't lose. Make sure you do your part to support your team this season. Hop on the gravy train and get in on the action with MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, welcome back. Well, I will say this. I've been adamant about the fact that I can't stand biased sports media. And I will tell you this, I am very biased. Obviously, people know that. But my bias is more so what I would love to see happen. It's not that I'm biased because there's any horse in the race for me. I have no stake in anyone. I guess you could say maybe Ohio State because I have great relationships with a number of players there and some coaches. Maybe you could say that is a bias, but I'm mostly biased for what I want to see happen. Like I wanted Baylor to beat Oklahoma so bad just for the narrative and to shake up college football. So I would have loved to see Minnesota ride out an undefeated season into the Big Ten championship game. But I'm going to read word for word, verbatim, what I said last Thursday on our preview show about this Oklahoma-Baylor game. Here it is, in quotes, "My greatest concern for Baylor is they are averaging just over 11 missed tackles a game. Oklahoma, as average as they've been on defense, have 40 less missed tackles than Baylor. My greatest concern was they averaged 11 missed tackles and hadn't even faced a dynamic team with ball carriers like Oklahoma has. And that was a number that was predictably going to increase. Oklahoma in the game had 6 missed tackles. Phenomenal game. I mean, hats off to Alex Grinch and his staff, really. The whole defensive staff at Oklahoma, hats off. What a game. 6 missed tackles. Baylor, 21 missed tackles. Double digits, you lose. 21? You don't stand a chance. And the reality is Oklahoma tried to keep him in the game, turning the ball over 3 times. This game was not even it was much less close than it seemed, even during the game or even at the end of the game in the score, 34-18. It's not a blowout, but Oklahoma had the ball over twice as much during the game. And when reality is you have to protect the ball, right? Tackle well, and you have to do well in critical situations. I've talked about it, I think, on every episode. Oklahoma was over 67% on third and fourth down. That's absurd. You can't win a game if a team can stay on the field and keep drives alive like that. At Baylor was 44%. That's not horrific. But the reality is, first downs, Oklahoma had almost double. Yards, Oklahoma had almost double. And then 3 turnovers by Oklahoma, 2 by Baylor. So there's really trading off possessions. But Oklahoma dominated this game, and they did so because ultimately Baylor couldn't tackle. And that's not the formula for success. I guess the silver lining here is when Baylor beats Texas next week, it will make it an even worse loss for Tom Herman. And that's, it's not going to be the undefeated Baylor team rolls. It's going to be the Baylor team that Oklahoma could beat. Tommy and Texas couldn't. But Charlie Brewer, I thought played decent. I mean, 194 yards. He threw that one pick, but it wasn't terrible. He ran the ball well, but Jalen Hurts just solidified himself as just a great college football player. I mean, throwing for 300 yards, 4 touchdowns, rushing for another 114. He is that offense. I mean, they did it without CeeDee Lamb. So you put CeeDee Lamb in the mix, and this Oklahoma team's much better than anyone else in the Big 12, really. It's not even close. I was hopeful that Baylor could do it. I know Baylor's kind of probably a year or two away from being a team that can go beat Oklahoma or beat Texas outside of just some prolific performance. And the sad thing is, I don't think Matt Rhule is going to be there long enough for that to happen because I think he'll be the head coach of Penn State. But anyways, it was an exciting game to watch. But I do want to talk about the national implications of that. On tomorrow's episode, we're going to talk about the Minnesota loss and some of the other games from this weekend. But the national landscape, my four have been the same for, three weeks, I think. It's been OSU, Clemson, LSU, Oregon. LSU, Clemson, I flipped this week because I think Trevor Lawrence and that offense are finally hitting their stride. Those are the final four. I think Oregon and Utah are interchangeable at four, whoever wins that game, right? I mean, I haven't analyzed it in depth. I've watched both teams, and I think it's going to be a toss-up. I love Utah's defense, and I love Oregon's offense. I think it's going to be a really, really good matchup to see who that final team is in the playoffs. And yes, I think that final team in the playoffs will be one of those two. And I think that's a great thing. Big Ten, Pac-12, ACC, SEC, all represented. The only thing I think derails those four being the final four is one of three things. Obviously, the one I just talked about, Utah beating Oregon, would put Utah in over Oregon. That's the one of the greatest possible scenarios that I think derail my top four. The other thing that I think can derail it, and I think that Ohio State fans need to be weary of, is Michigan beating Ohio State at Michigan. I know people are going to be like, "What are you talking about? It's the best Ohio State team in the history of Ohio State." And Michigan sucks, and Shea Patterson sucks, and Jim Harbaugh sucks. I get it. I get it all. The reality is, this is on the road at Michigan. Ohio State is riding the highs of highs. Michigan is pissed like a beaten dog. I mean, seven straight wins. They just have been constantly reminded that they are inferior to Ohio State. And with everything on the line, I'd help if Ohio State beats Penn State solid and they jump to one. Number one or number two, Ohio State going to Ann Arbor in the game. I think that's the most likely upset of my three scenarios. The other one's Georgia beating LSU. It could happen. Georgia has the best defense LSU will face, thank God. And LSU's defense is suspect. I just don't think Georgia has the firepower to actually do it. But matter of fact, I think that is by far the scariest game for Ohio State is that Michigan game over the three-game stretch. I don't think that the Big Ten Championship and Penn State are not going to provide any greater problems than your rival on the road with a good defense and a little chip on their shoulder, bad taste in their mouth. Be ready for a fight in the tunnel, you know, that tunnel that both teams have to use. Be ready for a fight there, probably a fight during the game. Be ready for a Georgia-Florida escapade. Jim Harbaugh has the team run on the field or something crazy. But I think that's the one scary scenario. But right now, OSU, Clemson, LSU, Oregon, that's my top four going into what is the final stretch, right? The final three games of college football. Going to be exciting. And there were some, there were some critics of Ohio State's, I guess, not explosively dominant win over Rutgers. And I just want to remind people, because I watched until the starters were pulled. And that was the first drive of the third quarter when all the starters were pulled. And anyone that saw what happened to Tua Tagovailoa would say that is what needs to happen. Regardless, you don't need style points at this point if you're Ohio State. So they pulled all the starters. It was 42-7 after the first drive of the second half. And then, I mean, Rutgers did decent. Some of the backups made mistakes and even third stringers. And so it ended up 56-21. Didn't come close to covering the spread. But that brought up, I guess I should have mentioned it earlier, our honorary runner-up dumbass, I don't know what to call him. He's really a future schedule reporter. He will tell you who's going to play a home-and-home in 2074, but he has no idea about football. And he also can't get over this boner he has for Ohio State. I mean, he literally masturbates to Ohio State University, Burt McMurphy. And so I want you, after you listen to this, tweet at him at whatever his handle is and just hashtag it Burt the douchebag. That's it. Just Burt the douchebag. And he'll be like, why are people saying Burt the douchebag? What are we talking about? He probably listens to the show. I mean, he's a fan. He's a super fan. He definitely listens to the show. But Burt McMurphy said, good teams win, great teams cover. Trying to throw shade at Ohio State. And herein lies Burt McMurphy. Don't let the truth get in the way of a controversial clickbait tweet. The best team in the country against the spread this year, Ohio State, 8-2, 80% against the spread. Second best team, Oklahoma State and UL Lafayette are also 8-2. So Ohio State's number one in the country. The next best, playoff contender that you would say is a championship caliber team is Clemson, 8-3 against the spread. Doesn't really fit your narrative there, Burt, does it? Sure doesn't. But anyways, Ohio State had a very impressive win. I think Justin Fields played extremely well. I mean, for only playing a half of football, he had 305 yards, four touchdowns. Really, really an impressive day. And then the backups have some work to do, but it was great experience for them, that's for sure. And I did, obviously, the starters getting pulled so early just made me think about it. And then I even saw on Twitter, I think it was Kyle Rowland or someone tweeted out, J.K. Dobbins hasn't taken a single carry in the second half in four of Ohio State's 10 games this year. And he only has 42 second-half carries all season. So in those six other games, he has 42 second-half carries. He still has almost 1,300 yards and is fourth nationally rushing, almost 130 yards a game and 13 touchdowns, top 10. And the son of a bitch is playing half of football. It's insane what this Ohio State team's doing. And I know they haven't played anyone. They haven't played Ole Miss yet. When they play Ole Miss, they'll really be tested. That's when we'll find out. But really excited about this the next couple shows. Gonna, like I said, tomorrow really talk about that Minnesota game and some of the other national games from this past weekend. Talk about some current events. And it is the week that the Predator returns to Columbus, Ohio to take on James Franklin and Penn State, the alleged rumored snitch. But make sure you check out the tailgate. Like I said, go to our social media, go to our website, menace2societypodcast.com. It's going to be big time, man. It's a covered lot, heated lot, great food, great drinks, great company. Got some cornhole, custom cornhole. That's going to be fun. And it's going to be a really fun time. Got some people. I know some people that are already coming, some special guests. Not going to promote them because this isn't about using them to make money or to raise money. But again, it'll benefit the Earl and Jean Bruce Charitable Fund for Alzheimer's research. So come out and check it out. It's on Lane Avenue at the Point. Check out our – and also, if you're interested in advertising sponsorship, as always, Zach at menace2societypodcast.com. And look forward to really carrying this week. It's the home stretch, man. Let's excited to see it, excited to watch it, excited to talk about it. Thank you for tuning in. Hope you were entertained and enjoyed it, and we will see you tomorrow.
That's why I don't read the newspaper, because it's garbage, and the editor that let it come out is garbage.
Or do you do what everybody else in media does, just create some shit and throw it on the wall and see what sticks, which is what I see happening everywhere.
Where are we at in society today? I'm a man. I'm 40.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my ass.